Hello and welcome. You're watching Left, Right and Centre, the weekend edition, and our big focus on the show this evening. Less than 10 days to go for the Jammu and Kashmir Assembly elections, and terrorism is at the centre of the poll discourse, with militancy far from over, both in Jammu and the Valley. A day after Home Minister Amit Shah reiterated the no terror for talks refrain in Jammu, the Defence Minister campaigning just kilometres away from the line of control, which witnessed heavy gun firing just weeks ago, hinted at a possibility of a dialogue with Pakistan only if it stops aiding terrorists. From snubbing Pakistan's SEO invite to calling Pakistan a proxy war agent, the Prime Minister has minced no words in his diplomatic position vis-a-vis Pakistan. The government has been clear. Terror and talks cannot go together. But with Southeast Asia turning more volatile than ever before, a peaceful neighbourhood is India's immediate concern. The onus, however, for peace is on Pakistan, is on those backing militancy. On Left, Right and Centre this weekend, we ask, as India's Defence Minister opens a door for dialogue, will Pakistan walk the distance? Before I bring in my guests, listen in to what the Defence Minister had to say.
पाकिस्तान से बातचीत करने की बात कुछ लोग करते हैं, मैं कहता हूं पाकिस्तान एक काम कर दे, आतंकवाद का सहारा लेना बंद कर दे। कौन नहीं चाहेगा कि हमारे पड़ोसी देशों के साथ रिश्ते बेहतर हों, क्योंकि इस हकीकत को मैं जानता हूं बहनों भाइयों, जिंदगी में दोस्त बदल जाते हैं लेकिन पड़ोसी नहीं बदलता है।
And joining me on the show this evening, I'm being joined by Shazia Ilmi, spokesperson of the BJP. Also with me, Prabhu Dayal, former ambassador and a very articulate voice on India's diplomacy. Dr. Dara Karta, former director, National Security Council Secretariat, will also be joining us on the show this evening. And I'll also be joined by spokespersons from the PDP and the National Conference. Going across to you first, Mr. Prabhu Dayal, how do you see what the Defence Minister has said today? He's, of course, reiterated what has been the government's stand, that terror and talks cannot go together. But he's also hinted at some sort of a conditional dialogue with Pakistan, something that perhaps the government has largely been opposed to in the past few years.
I think that the Defence Minister has given very good advice to Pakistan. But the unfortunate thing is that the Pakistan army will not stop supporting terrorist activities against India. The Pakistan army rules the roost in their country. Pakistan is not a democracy where the elected government calls the shots. Rather, it is a deep state. And in the deep state, an unelected authority calls the shots. In the case of Pakistan, it is the army alongside its intelligence wing, the ISI. Now, within Pakistan, the army derives a lot of importance by saying that India is hostile. The Pakistan army derives mileage because of the hostility with India. Now, if there's peace, the army will have to go back to the barracks and it will lose its prestige, its importance, and its overall say in their political system. So, while the Pakistan army does not want an open, all-out war with India, because it will pay a very heavy price. It did so in Kargil. All along, the Pakistan government pretended that their army was not involved. But very recently, General Asim Munir, the chief of the Pakistan army, has acknowledged that Pakistan lost a lot of soldiers in Kargil and that their army was involved. Now, the army does not want an open conflict. It wants covert warfare. It wants to send terrorists to India to retain the hostile nature of the relationship. And for this reason, Pakistan has been ceaselessly supporting terrorist activities against India. I'm afraid that will not stop, because if it stops, the importance of the Pakistan army within their country comes down.
Imran Nabidar of the National Conference is also with us. Imran, your response to what Rajnath Singh has said. The regional parties in Jammu and Kashmir, of course, have talked about dialogue being the only solution. But I'm afraid in the past decade or so, perhaps more than the decade, we haven't really seen any lasting solution to the Pakistan problem. Given the fact that the central government is open to conditional dialogue only on the condition and the caveat that Pakistan needs to stop aiding terrorists. That's a fair diplomatic position. Would you agree?
Exactly. I think it's a silver lining and we welcome it. This is a very positive development that has come after a very, very long time. As all of you must be aware, that National Conference has always been a votary of reconciliation, a votary of dialogue, because we believe that every issue and every conflict can get resolved by only dialogue. Gun is not a solution. We have seen enough of bloodshed, and it's a very welcome sign that the Indian Home Defense Minister has made a very positive statement vis-a-vis dialogue, and he has sort of justified our stance also, because we have been our leadership has also always been a big votary of this dialogue. Now the ball lies in the court of Pakistan, and I'm sure they also need to make a step, and they also need to send out some signals. And I think I'm sure that somebody in the Pakistan administration would also like to have cordial relations with India. And this is a positive development. We welcome it.
Very important point you're making, that this is a positive development. And also, you know, this conversation is happening in the backdrop of course, the elections that are scheduled to be held from the 18th of September. So important there that the National Conference there welcoming what Rajnath Singh has said on this. Shazia Ilmi, a quick response to this, and also the larger question around India's stand vis-a-vis Pakistan. Of course, the Defence Minister also reiterated the terror and talks cannot go together stand. But do you see this also as some sort of a softening of position as far as Pakistan is concerned in the run-up to the elections?
I don't see any softening there. There is, of course, a need to underline and specify that we would want good relations with all our neighbors. And because he specifically did mention that while we do not choose our friends, we don't choose our neighbors. And that is extremely desirable for India, to have good relations and to initiate a dialogue. But it cannot happen with the stance and the existence of sponsored terrorism that India has been at the receiving end of for years. So that he's made amply clear. If you look at National Conference, they are keen that there has to be a dialogue with Pakistan, that it's important to the relations and to the interest of Valley. They have also reiterated that they would be very lenient to the prisoners who have serious charges, whether it's sedition or others. And also on trade, LOC trade, and talks of that. Now, talks, trade do not go together with terror. So now it cannot be a parallel track in that sense. So one happens at the expense of another. And that is exactly
what... So Shazia, are you saying in a sense that what the position of the regional parties vis-a-vis Pakistan has been perhaps that of unconditional dialogue, and that is a problem? Are you saying that?
Well, absolutely. It's a huge problem. And this is, of course, this is a political compulsion of the two parties, prominent parties of the valley. But BJP, which very clearly has stood for something like abrogation of 370 and 35A, which has its manifesto completely dedicated to this, and who we've had a whole history ideologically, if you see how Shyama Prasad Mukherjee lost his life, and how he died in very mysterious circumstances, and how the whole party and ideologues and what it stands for is completely for an integrated Jammu and Kashmir in every sense of the word.
Okay.
That is legally,
so that's an important
constitutionally,
point you made. And particularly the
socially,
point you made about political and compulsions. And let me get the National Conference spokesperson to respond to that. Imran, your response to what Shazia is saying, that there are perhaps political compulsions and some sort of a tightrope there for you, which is why you need to emphasize again and again on this kind of unconditional dialogue with Pakistan, despite the fact that we see rising cases of militancy.
No, there is only one compulsion which BJP doesn't understand, which perhaps their leadership doesn't understand, is that at the end of the day, the conflict has taken a heavy toll on Kashmiris. 1 lakh people have died. That is the compulsion that we have. That is the compulsion. That is the pressing need that we want, that both these countries should sit together and discuss the issues on the table rather than fighting with guns and bombs. That is the compulsion we have, because we have lost over 1 lakh people to this senseless violence. And we don't want to lose more people. We don't want bloodshed. So it is prudent. And I think it's a very welcome statement from the defense ministry, who has sort of the kind of statements that has come from the defense minister is very encouraging, when he said that we cannot change our neighbors. We can change our friends, but neighbors are there, which late Vajpayee ji had also said.
Yes.
So I would call it a very positive development, and it is something that both countries need to take forward. And I said it earlier.
But the point
also,
you made about rising militancy, and Shazia, come in on this quickly before I get in. Dr. Tara Karta, listening very patiently. So Shazia, I mean, the BJP has constantly made this point that militancy has gone down since the revocation of Article 370. In fact, in your manifesto, you talk about complete eradication of militancy. But the fact of the matter is that we have seen, particularly in the past 6 to 8 months, the kind of terror attacks, whether it was an army vehicle being attacked, whether it was an IEF convoy being attacked, the ambushes that we've seen across Jammu and Kashmir, both in the valley as well as Jammu. So militancy is far from over. We'll have to accept that.
And nobody's even saying that. In fact, in all the speeches of Amit Shah ji, the Home Minister, and all the records that are there for everybody to see, the fact of the matter is that in terms of the incidents of terror and death that happen of civilians and instances of militancy, it has gone down by 70%, and that's a huge number. When you look at something like stone pelting, which was something that everybody saw and experienced and suffered and was part of, it has come down by 100%. If you look at tourism itself, I mean, you're looking at huge numbers there. And that is big. I mean, come on. So it's like maximum tourism has happened in this phase. And not just that, we've seen panchayat elections, we've seen zila elections, we've seen DDC elections, which have not happened, and we've seen a huge turnout. So in that sense, it is actually the end of fiefdom of these three political parties, but sovereignty and autonomy for the local Kashmiri in the valley for the very first time. And it has never, ever happened before.
In fact, the turnout that we saw during the Lok Sabha polls as well, that was also quite encouraging. Though, of course, those within the electorate have pointed out that the situation is more complex than that. While, of course, there's been increased autonomy and the economy has opened up, but there are complexities that need to be addressed. Dr. Tara Karta, from a diplomat's perspective, what should be the way forward when it comes to our relations with Pakistan? Do you see the government stand that there cannot be any talks as long as Pakistan continues to back terror? Do you see this as the solution for lasting peace? Because we do need a peaceful neighborhood. We are seeing what's happening in our neighborhood.
In that sense, I don't think the government position has changed very much. I mean, that's what we've been saying, that as long as terrorism continues, no talks. And you had Jaishankar, who recently said the same thing. I mean, he said, look, we will respond according to what Pakistan does. And if Pakistan carries terrorist attacks, I'm sorry, we're not talking to you. Nobody should talk at the point of a gun. I mean, that is something which most countries will refuse to do, that, if you increase terrorist attacks, I will talk to you. Sorry, that is not a happening thing.
Yes.
And second thing is, I think the Article 370 is a given. That is what the government says. And in that perspective, any talking to Pakistan on that is also not likely to happen. And it should not. You made a decision, you stick with it. Having said that, if Pakistan responds to us, like Nawaz Sharif had said, I mean, he said that, look, we actually violated the Lahore agreement, we did. So there was that encouraging kind of talk. But right now, whom do we talk to? I mean, Asim Munir, Lieutenant General Asim Munir is the top dog. He's got his own ISI chief in custody. He's going to get the next, I'm pretty sure, this is not a full stop. He's going to get the last COS on as well. So there's chaos in Pakistan. And economically, they're in decline. They're suffering severe rise in terrorism. Mm. All of which means Pakistan should stop supporting terror and talk to us. Mm. That's the best thing for them.
People have described terrorism as a Frankenstein's monster. When it comes to Pakistan. But Ambassador Dayal, one point that Dr. Tariq Arta made, that, you know, when we speak of dialogue, who do we really talk to? I mean, it's not just the government in Pakistan, but the military establishment, really, that calls the shots. So this dialogue with Pakistan that has become the sort of focus of, the poll narrative as well, is extremely complex. And I'm sure as a diplomat, you'd agree with that.
Well, I agree with what Dr. Tariq Arta has said. And in fact, in my opening remarks, I also categorically stated that the real power in Pakistan vests with the army.
Yes.
It is the army which calls the shot. And whenever the civilian leadership has tried to do something other than what the army wants, the civilian leadership has had to pay a price. I recall that Ziaul Haq had executed Bhutto. Then later, Musharraf had overthrown Nawaz Sharif. Recently, Imran Khan is languishing in prison because he dared to question the authority of the Army Chief General Asim Munir. So it's the army which calls the shots, and the civilian leadership has to play second fiddle. And as I said, the army profits from a hostile relationship with
yes.
India. It derives prestige. It tries to pretend to be the protector of Pakistan. Mm. And in the bargain, it sets up lots of advantages for itself. There are army housing societies, defense housing societies, which
yes.
are given to army officers at throwaway prices. There is the Fauji Foundation, where retired army officers are employed and gets huge emoluments. So the army has to maintain this relationship of hostility because it profits from it. Mm. And
that's a very important point, I think, because that's really the essence of the entire debate. And, you know, we've seen in the past 2-3 years particularly so many instances of how the military establishment in Pakistan is really profiting from this terror industry, as many of our government ministers have also called. But quickly, let me get in our political spokesperson on why this has become a political plank. In fact, Imran, if you could come in on this. We saw your leaders of the PDP also talking about how, the militancy and how the entire security situation has worsened since 2019. But, the larger question is, why make this a political plank?
Why not? I mean, if BJP can question when they were in opposition, if BJP could question everything, they put every domain politically, why can't we question the actions of the present government? And why can't we use it politically? What stops us from using it? Because at the end of the day, this is what democracy is all about. I mean, right now, the government at the center and in Jammu and Kashmir, it is the BJP which is calling the shots. And we need to ask questions. They need to be held accountable. There have been n number of incidents in the valley which deserve some sort of answers. I mean, many of our soldiers have died in the line of duty. Who is responsible for that? I mean, there has to be some sort of accountability, and we would not stop asking questions. We would question the government. We would question, it is the job of the opposition. This is what makes a democracy vibrant, and this is what makes a democracy working.
Okay. Shazia, your quick response to that?
So I think, first of all, I feel National Conference is in a bit of a spot. If you know what happened in the last elections, and I think Omar Abdullah has been rather traumatized by his defeat at the hands of Engineer Rashid's, in his hands, and how he lost his, how he got rejected by the populace, so to speak, which is, and he also promised that he would never, never, never be a part of any electoral transaction, so to speak, until JNK gets statehood back. But there you have Omar Abdullah begging for his honor, taking off his cap, petrified to the core, going helter-skelter and fighting from two constituencies. Not just that, ever since Amit Shah made his presence felt and released the manifesto and made it amply clear that there is no return of 370 and 35A and that is gone for good. You see how cleverly and mischievously he brought in, that is Umar Abdullah brought in, you know, the whole matter of Afzal Guru. So here we're looking at, and this causes a lot of embarrassment to his alliance partner because Congress ministers do not know what to say. So when you want to talk politically and you want to cater to the lowest basic sentiment, which is exactly what he's doing, talking about, you know, the communal card, the victim card, Afzal Guru. Imagine using a convict, you know, like Afzal Guru to further your political gains. So I understand what my friend says from NC, that you have to do everything to make it political. But having to resort to using Afzal Guru's name to get some gains for yourself, I don't see it as a shot in the arm at all. I do see it as a shooting yourself in the foot. It's the other way around. And I do not
think the entire Afzal Guru debate, of course, is an entirely different debate. But I'm afraid, Shazia, I'll have to cut you short. I'm running out of time. Dr. Tarak Karta, the last word to you. A two-part question. A, how do we really change the situation on the ground, whether it's through dialogue or, you know, the kind of policy India has adopted? The situation on the ground remains grim, as many have pointed out. And also, do you think polls perhaps can usher in you know, a new era for Jammu and Kashmir, particularly when it comes to militancy?
Yeah, I think a transparent polls, which is what we are seeing now, is what is actually needed for Jammu and Kashmir. I mean, if you've got Engineer Rashid actually contesting, you've got a relative of these. I mean, there's a lot of Jamaat-e-Islami has fielded a number of people. This is a transparent election which nobody can question. That is actually what you need on the ground. However, if I can just say one thing, ideally like it if regional parties, I mean, you talk of everything, but don't bring up this issue of talking to Pakistan. That is an issue of foreign policy. You know? It is not...
Okay, I agree with you that perhaps that really shouldn't be brought in the poll narrative. Shazia, you had a point, last 20 seconds, yeah.
No, I totally object to ma'am's insinuation that there is lack of transparency. I don't know what she's insinuating.
No, in fact, she's saying that there is transparency. That's what she's saying, that we are seeing transparent polls there. But I'm afraid I'll have to leave it there. We're running out of time on left, right and center. This, of course, remains one of our top focus stories on NDTV, given the fact that polls will begin in Jammu and Kashmir on September the 18th, a truly historic moment, a turning point for the Union Territory. For now, a short break, but news continues on the other side.